talking to some followers and some friends and a big crowd who are listening to them. But in amongst the listeners were some Pharisees who really didn't like what Jesus was talking about. And they really didn't like who Jesus was talking to, because as far as they were concerned, Jesus was spending too much time with the wrong kind of people. Not lovely people like yourselves, but people who'd made mistakes in their lives. People who'd done wrong things. People who were still doing wrong things. And while Jesus said he came into the world to look for and rescue people who were lost, these Pharisees thought that Jesus should just be spending time with really good people like them. So Jesus told them a story. And I'd like to tell it to you too today as well. Jesus said that there was a man. And this particular man had two sons. One slightly older purple son in this picture, and one slightly younger green son. And the reason he's green is because he was green with envy. He looked at the way his dad lived his life. He looked at the way that his dad made decisions about the money and what they should do and where they should work and where they should go. And he thought, that old man doesn't know what he's on about. I could do so much better if I only had a little bit of money. But he didn't. And he thought, the only way I'm going to make any money in this world is when my old man dies and I get my inheritance. But he's pretty fit. He seems to be eating well. Lots of olives. He's never going to pop his clogs. And I'm never going to get my money and get to spend it how I want. Is that a nice way to think about your dad? No. I don't mind being a taxi, but I'm not like that, is it? And he thought, I've got an idea. I'll ask my dad if instead of waiting till he dies, he'll give me my half of my money now. And that way I can just clear off. I can do what I want. I can go where I want. I can live how I want. And I won't have to do things dad's way. I won't have to live with my older brother. And I won't have to wait on that stinking farm. I can just do what I want. And for some reason, the dad agrees. Jesus said, he worked out how much each son would get, and he gave it to both of them. He was so happy. He had all of this money, so he packed up his bags, he took some of his favorite things with him, he grabbed his donkey, and he got out of there. He went as far away as he could from home and decided that he was going to live life his way. Do things the way he wanted to do them and not have to follow any silly rules that there are back at home. He was finally going to be his own man. So he found a really nice place to live. He found somewhere really nice to get delicious food and drink. He got himself some lovely new clothes. He spent some money buying a really nice fast horse so he could get about from town to town. And then he saw that over the big lake, there was a really nice city, so he hired a boat and a crew to take him about. Oh, he was so happy. If he wanted to travel, he could. If he wanted to eat, he could. If he wanted to wear the clothes he liked, he could. If he wanted to sleep in the morning, he could, and no one could tell him what to do. And you know what was even better? He had loads of friends everywhere he went. Because if he went into a restaurant, all he had to do was say, the drinks are on me. And all of a sudden, he was surrounded by people who really wanted to be his friend, really wanted to sit with him, really wanted to spend time with him. If he was bored at home, he could just say, I'm having a party, and get some food in. And all of a sudden, there'd be people. And there were always people on his boat, and always people admiring his lovely, lovely horse. Loads of good friends. Until the money started to run out. You see, this young man had forgotten that as well as spending money, you need to earn some. And as he was spending time with his friends and buying drinks and eating nice food and training horses and going on boats and traveling around, he soon discovered that he didn't have any friends anymore. And in fact, he started to feel really lonely. And as he looked around him, there wasn't anyone to help him. There wasn't anybody to get him up in the morning. There wasn't anybody cooking his dinners anymore. There wasn't anybody washing his clothes. There wasn't anybody doing all of the things that used to really annoy him about his dad back home. In the story, something really bad happens. It says that a famine came to the land. Does anyone know what a famine is? Yeah? It's a what? Hunger, yeah. The famine, none of the crops grew. And actually, not only is our young son really lonely, is he actually really on his own, but he's really hungry. And Jesus said that he managed to go out and get himself a job working on a farm. But there was a problem. It was a pig farm. Now, I don't know what you think about pigs, but actually in Jesus' day, the people who Jesus lived with, they thought that pigs weren't just dirty and smelly, they were really unclean animals. And in fact, really good Jewish boys and girls didn't spend time around pigs. You don't eat pigs, you don't eat sausages, bacon, pork, you don't pet pigs, you don't touch pigs. And in fact, if a pig has touched something, you wouldn't even want it anymore. But the only place this young boy could get to work was on a pig farm, feeding pigs. Oh, he was feeling rotten. He was feeling hungry. He hadn't worked there long enough to get any food to eat. And he was looking at the food he was giving the pigs, and he thought, oh, I'd eat that. I'd eat those leftovers and those pods, but no one would give him anything. Oh, he was feeling miserable. He'd really blown it, hadn't he? He's really made a big mess of things. And then he thought, do you know what? Back home, my dad's servants get a decent lunch every day. They get fruit, they get veg, they get bread, they get cheese. You know, my dad really looks after his servants, not like these pig farmers. But I can't go home because I've messed up too much. I can't go home to my dad. I thought, what if I go home and instead of saying dad, I say boss? I know, I'll go home and I'll say sorry to my dad and I'll ask him if I can be one of his servants. And then that way, I'll have enough food and I'll have a nice place to live. And actually, I won't feel so lonely or horrible anymore. And that's what he decided to do. So the son started the long walk back home. And the whole way home, he was practicing what he was going to say to his dad. Have any of you ever had to do that? Have you ever done something really silly or made a big mistake and on the way home from school or your friend's house had to rehearse what you were going to say to your parents? I dislocated my brother's knee once. We were play fighting, which we shouldn't have, and that was an ambulance trip, and man, I had to rehearse what I was going to say to my parents that day. I thought they were going to kill me. I had to go home thinking, how, what am I going to say to my mum? And this boy here, this young man, is doing the same thing. As he's walking along, feeling dirty and smelly and piggy and hungry and probably a little bit frightened, he's thinking, Dad, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. That sounds good. And it's true. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Let me be like one of your hired servants, and I'll work for you, and I won't complain about it. And as he's working along, he's practicing what he's going to say, how he's going to react, what he's going to do when he sees his dad. And he continues on the long journey. Dads, have you ever had one of your children come home who's done something really silly? Who's done something that you've told them not to do? Or taken something that wasn't theirs, or crashed a car you asked them to be careful in, and you've had to rehearse what you're going to say to them? Or dads, are you the you wait till your father gets home? Yeah? When the mum is a bit unsure of what to say and is too angry to think of what to do, and she says, you wait till your father gets home. Well, this dad has spent a long time thinking about his son and wondering how he's doing. And actually, every morning when he gets up, he looks out of his window and he looks as far as he can to see if maybe that son who wanted all the money and left and didn't want anything to do with him is coming home. And one day he looks out of his bedroom window And he can see something on the top of the hill. And it's really small. And it's coming towards his farm. And it's walking a bit slowly. But it definitely looks like a person. And as he gets closer, he recognizes that that person walking to his house is his son. Oh, you wait until he gets home. I'm going to let him know exactly how I feel about what he's done. No. Right, lock the gates. He's not coming in. Have you ever pushed the key in so no one can open the door? I can remember getting home too late and the key was pushed in. You had to ring the doorbell. Couldn't sneak in then. No, the dad didn't do that either. Jesus says that the dad ran. Really, that was fast, wasn't it? He ran to meet his son. And as the son's walking up the path, practicing what he's going to say, Dad, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. What I did was really wrong. It was mean. It was selfish. I'm not fit to be called your son. The dad just ran up to him and gave him a great big hug. He wouldn't listen to what the son had to say, but called a servant saying, quick, bring some nice new clothes. He stinks. Get a lovely ring and put it on his finger so everyone knows that he's my son. You, go into the field, find the juiciest cow you can. We're having a barbecue tonight because my son has come home. And while the son's trying to apologize and say sorry and say, look, I don't deserve to be your son anymore. The dad is too busy organizing a party and inviting the neighbors around because his son is back. That's a lovely story, isn't it? What a really lovely dad, because he must have been hurt by what his son did. It can't have been easy for him to give him the money and watch him leave, worrying if he was going to make good decisions or not. But actually, when he came back, it wasn't the time for I told you so's. It wasn't the time for, well, do you know what? Me and your mother have been worried sick. It was time to give him a hug and say, you have messed up, but I love you. Welcome home. Now, a lot of times the story ends there, but actually Jesus' story didn't end there, does it? Because there was another son. There was the older son. The older son's out in the field working when he hears thumping music coming from his house. What on earth is Dad up to now? And as he gets near the house, he asks a servant, what's happening? Why are all those people there? Why can I smell roast beef? What's going on? Well, your brother has come home. And your dad was so happy to see him, he's thrown a great big party. Come on in. He's dying to see you too. Well, actually, the older brother doesn't go in. And in fact, the older brother gets really cross. And he sits outside the house, and no matter who comes out, he won't go in. He doesn't want to see his brother. And at the moment, he doesn't want to see his dad either. The dad comes out and says, look, why won't you come in? Why won't you join the party? There's plenty of food. You've got to be kidding me, says the older brother. He's been gone for who knows how long, spending your money doing who knows what with who knows who. He's thrown it up all the wall, wasted all of it. And because he's come home, you're throwing a party. I've stayed at home all these years looking after you, looking after your farm, doing everything I've been told, and you've never given me or your friends a little goat for a barbecue. He comes home and it's rings, robes, and a heifer. I'm not coming in. And actually, that's how the story ends when Jesus tells it. Which is sad, isn't it? Because you've got a story about two sons who really messed up. One of them knew it, and the other one didn't. You've got one son who left home, wasted his money, really, really messed up, came to his senses, came home to say sorry, and found the most loving, forgiving welcome you could imagine. Did he deserve a big party? No. Did he deserve a robe and a ring? No. Would you have forgiven the father if he didn't let him in? Probably. But the dad did, because the dad was so happy to see that the one who had really messed up his life had turned around and come back. You've got another son who didn't leave home. He did the right thing. He was a good son. He listened to his dad. He didn't go off on wild adventures. He didn't spend his money silly. He didn't buy things. He was a good kid. But when his brother came home, he couldn't forgive him. And he couldn't believe that his dad could. Can you remember why Jesus was telling this story? Because as he was telling people about how much God loves us, there was a group of Pharisees saying, God doesn't love people like them. God doesn't love people like you. God can't forgive what you've done. God likes people like me. They sound a bit like the older brother, don't they? And this is the really wonderful thing about God as a father. Is when we mess up or make mistakes, no matter how big, God wants us to come home. Sometimes younger children, when we make mistakes and we're scared to talk to dad, sometimes when we make mistakes and maybe you're a bit nervous, we can get scared of talking to God too. And actually sometimes when we make big mistakes in our lives or do things we know are wrong, we don't want to go to church because we think, well, God doesn't like me anymore. All those Christians are really good people and I've made a mistake. Let me tell you, this church is full of people because I'm one of them who, we get it wrong still, don't we? We make mistakes. And God doesn't want us to stop coming. He doesn't want us to stop talking to us. He wants us to tell him what we've done, say sorry, and he wants us to come back home. So as you grow up, if you make mistakes, don't ever feel you can't come back to Emmanuel Baptist Church, because you always can. Same for older ones. Okay? God wants us always to come back to him. But sometimes, like the older brother, we need to be careful that we don't stand at the doors making people feel unwelcome. Don't we? We need to make sure all sorts of people feel welcome to know God and to feel forgiven by Jesus. So who do you feel like this morning? Do you feel like the dad and you're worried about your kids and you want them to come home? Maybe. Do you feel like the younger son and you just want to get away and do your own thing? Do you feel like the older son and actually you're a bit worried about some of the people who are coming into church at the moment? Because this story's for each of us, isn't it? Now, I know it's hard when we've got children who don't know or love the Lord, or when we've got family or friends who do. And maybe like that dad, you are watching out the window, hoping that they'll find Jesus for themselves, that they'll find their way home. And I guess like that dad in the story, we need to wait and we need to pray and we need to not lose hope. It is hard when you've made mistakes or got things wrong. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes mistakes are really big and they have consequences. Sometimes relationships break down. Sometimes things are really difficult. And like the younger son, we need to come to our senses and we need to come back to the Father. We need to say sorry. It doesn't always remove what's happened. It doesn't always make everything right straight away, but we need to come home and we need to say sorry. And maybe like the older son, we need to be a bit more welcoming and a bit more forgiving too. Shall we pray? Yeah, let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are always waiting for your children to come back to you. Thank you for the love that you have for each one of us in this room or watching online, live or later. Thank you for the love you have for this world. Thank you that you are such a good father. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. You sent your son, Jesus, into this world to take our place on that cross, to take the wrong things we've done away, and to give us his righteousness like that robe and that ring. Help us, God, not to lose sight of how much you've forgiven us, and help us to forgive others too. In Jesus' name, amen.